561?
Do you want to do a quorum first?
Oh, let's, you know, I still need training wheels. I haven't done this a lot, but would you call a quorum, please?
Stern. Anderson.
Here.
Anderson present. Allen.
Here.
Allen present. Hertzberg. Leyva.
Here.
Leyva present.
We have a quorum, and with that, SB 561, Senator Gaines and Senator Hill, would you like to come and present? Please.
There we go. Great. Thank you, Chair Anderson and members, and just like to bring forward Senate Bill 561 with amendments. And we're here today to try to address an issue that would allow landowners or property in Fallen Leaf Lake to vote in district elections and serve as board members on the Fallen Leaf Lake Community Service District. Fallen Leaf Lake is tucked away in the Tahoe Basin. Many cabin owners and tourists enjoy the beautiful scenery and remote nature of Fallen Leaf Lake in the warmer months. However, in the winter months, road access to Fallen Leaf Lake is restricted and makes it nearly impossible for owners of the cabins to access their property. Fallen Leaf Lake Community Services District provides fire protection as well as recreational activities to the community and the public at large. Current law only allows members to sit and participate on a board if they are full-time resident of the location. Unfortunately, the nature of the location makes it difficult for members to qualify to serve on the CSD board. Basically, it's snowed in all winter. This bill is meant to address this unique nature at Fallen Leaf Lake CSD that the CSD residents face and allow landowners to serve as board members of the CSD in order to vote on CSD matters that affect Fallen Leaf Lake. This bill has received overwhelming support from the Fallen Leaf community, unanimous support from the CSD board, and the support of the local county supervisor, Sue Novosel of El Dorado County. Members, this is a local problem with a local solution, and I urge your support. I'm also joined here today by my colleague and joint author, Senator Hill, and then we may have some members of the CSD speaking in a moment.
Thank you. Senator Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. You know, I think everyone here agrees, including the great county clerk from the county of El Dorado, who is here today, that we need a legislative fix to this unique situation. The cabin owners live all over the state, including my Senate district. Stanford University's Alumni Lodge is also located on the lake. This bill will allow them, as Senator Gaines mentioned, to continue funding their community services district that pays for fire service and emergency response, which 90% of the time is helping visitors and tourists. There is a precedent for this. AB 3548 from 1990 allowed for a similar situation with the Sierra Lakes Water District. We also received a ledge council opinion showing the constitutionality of this bill. All these people want to do is continue to have the board be operational and continue to raise money for the fire district so they can provide those important safety services. We're committed to working with this committee and the El Dorado County Clerk as this bill moves forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Do we have other witnesses in support?
I believe we do. If I could just interject again. I want to thank Bill Schultz with the county clerk who's in charge of elections in El Dorado County. He's helping us with this legislation as it moves through, and also to the committee and all their help in crafting this so we can keep it moving and hopefully resolve an issue for constituents in my district. And I believe we have some witnesses.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Elections Committee. I appreciate your consideration of this bill. It's very important to us. You'll see that there are approximately 25 people in the audience today. Many have come a long way to lend support to this bill. 97% of the Fallen Leaf community agrees with those in the audience that SB 561 is the best and only solution to our problem. That 97%, incidentally, includes all of the 4 known full-time residents of the lake who are registered to vote. There are a total of 10 people who live at the lake year-round. Of those, we know that there are 4 of them who are registered. We understand there are there's an additional 6 who are not registered. The problem has been well identified and described. In a nutshell, we have a community that's built a volunteer fire department from scratch, that's fundraised and built a store and marina and a firehouse. And then because our ABA tax recovery is the lowest in the county and not enough to cover the fire department's budget, the community dug deep again and agreed to tax itself by a special fire tax to make up the approximately $200,000 annual shortfall in the fire department. Despite that heavy investment, the community, including the 25 people in the audience, currently have no safe say over how those assets are managed and operated. And that's because they are necessarily managed by our CSD, which by law has an elected board. If the community votes on its board members, or if they vote to renew or not to renew the fire tax, they risk prosecution for voter fraud. So they have a Hobson's choice: either vote and risk criminal penalties, or don't vote and lose their CSD and fire department. Meanwhile, there's been no turnover during the past 5 years in our board. Right now, we are 4 board members, down from 5, and we're unable to find a 5th to join us because of fear of prosecution. SB 561 would change that and enable us to attract new blood to the board. It has the support of our county supervisor, Sue Novosel, and of our fire chief, Gary Guerin. There's no known opposition to the substance of this bill. The El Dorado County Elections Office does oppose it based on the wording of the statute. However, we understand that that department supports the goal and simply wants its language cleaned up so that it is consistent with the legal requirements of their department. We are more than happy to work with them toward that goal. Passage of SB 561 will allow us once again to plan for the future rather than just caretaking the present. Thank you very much.
Normally, we have you identify yourself with a title, too, if you have one.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm Michael Casey, and I'm a member of the CSD board.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there other witnesses in support that would like to come up and...
Good afternoon. My name is David Anderson. I'm an owner of a part of a cabin at Fallen Leaf Lake. And I just want to say I've been a supporter of this bill and some method for assuring that lake members can vote at Fallen Leaf for a number of years. The bill is before you. There are a number of proposed amendments. And I just want to say that the community as a whole, we're very committed to working with whatever concerns this committee may have, with whatever concerns the elections department may have, to ensure that a workable and fair bill comes out of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any witnesses in opposition? You can come right up to the desk here.
Good afternoon. My name is William E. Schultz. Most people call me Bill. I'm the elected recorder clerk for El Dorado County and the Registrar of Voters, plus the Department of Veterans Affairs Director. So I'm here today, unfortunately, to oppose this bill on the basis of the registered voter status. The election department operates, as you know, with the California Elections Code, which is this book, which is over 600 pages. I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, this subject came up with the registered voter status at Fallen Leaf Lake. It got into... not a very nice scene because the district attorney became involved residency status, domicile, all these things. And so at the time, when I met with a few members of the Fallen Leaf Lake Board, I explained to them why we could not help them. And I explained also that the only way they were going to be able to solve their problem was through legislation. There wasn't anything I could do. There wasn't any way to change the election code right off the bat. So they have taken it upon themselves to go ahead and try to find a legislative solution. I found out about this bill at 10:30 a.m. Friday. Had not been contacted about this bill by anyone. That's unfortunate because I could have, I think I could have helped a lot in putting this bill together. And I might not have had to be in opposition to this bill. However, that said, I understand where all of these folks are coming from. I want to help them. I'm in opposition because most of it is against the law, against election code. To be a registered voter, you have to claim a domicile. Most of the voters, most of the residents, part-time residents of Fallen Leaf Lake, their property comes from United States Forest Service. They don't own the property. They rent it, lease it, whatever. On your voter registration form, it says, what's your domicile? Where is it? So if you live in San Mateo and you want to vote here, then you have to register here. It's right in the elections code. There's nothing I can do about it. As a registrar of voters, I don't have any choice in the matter. And when I came down, let me just read you what I sent to Senator Stern. In my limited time to review Senate Bill 561, I am not opposed in principle to the concerns of the authors and the constituents of Fallen Leaf Lake Community Service District. And I'm willing to work with the authors to revise the language. Given that, I do have concerns with SB 561 as written and with some of the amendments that have been proposed. Some of my concerns based off of my brief analysis just since Friday are the Registrar of Voters Office does not have purview with property ownership documents and tax rolls and the interpretation of legal ownership based on those documents. That's not my job. And I don't have anything in my office that would help me with that anyway. The content of the bill fails to address a number of election-related conflicts that it would create, such as when a joint tenancy or any other multiple ownership situation exists and a letter designating the qualifying voter is required, what the procedure is when a letter is not returned, or if more than one letter is returned. Who makes that decision? Not me. As a district with an elected governing board, subject to the recall provisions of California Elections Code 11000, the Registrar of Voters Office is unable to comply with those election codes that require validation of signatures on a recall petition, should one be necessary. We must verify every signature. Obviously, if they're not a registered voter, I have no signatures on file to compare them against, so I cannot do that. As the Fallen Leaf Lake Community Services District currently conducts its elections consolidated with California general elections, conducting future elections as currently scheduled would provide duplicated voting opportunities on state and federal contests. As no provision exists in the code that real property owners receive a ballot with only the Fallen Leaf Lake contest, and that registered voters of Fallen Leaf Lake receive all contests that they are eligible for based on their tax rate area. These are things out of my control. A large portion of the proposed amendments that I have been made aware of address the Registrar of Voters Office being the responsible agency for the production of the official list of voters, both of registered voters and real property owners. And I feel this places the office under an undue legal and fiscal burden and would be better handled as landowner voting districts under EC Election Codes 10502 and 10525 currently are, with the district being the responsible party. So in consulting other codes, there are currently chaptered a similar hybrid district was permitted by California Water Code, as you mentioned, 375900, which contain language that the authors may wish to consult. So like I said originally, I'm here to oppose the bill, yes. Why am I opposing the bill? Because I can't comply with it. It conflicts with California Election Code. So unless that gets settled, then there's really not much we can do about it. So I'm willing to work with whoever needs to be in on this. I'm amazed at the number of people here today. I'm appreciative of the fact that they're standing up to help with this bill. But it is a problem. It's a very serious problem because we're talking about California Election Code. Whatever I can do to help, I'm open and I will do what I can because these people have a right to do something about it. However, the code is very clear that you must be a registered voter. Landowners, like I say, landowner definition, it's pretty easy to see. You're a landowner, you're not a renter. It's one or the other. And most of the places around the lake are a lease agreement or something with the Forest Service or someone else. It's a beautiful lake. I envy people that do have something up there. But I'm here to help as the elections official for El Dorado County. Where we go from here, that's up to everybody.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any other witnesses in opposition? Senator Allen, did you?
Well, first of all, thank you, everybody, for coming in. My question for you, Mr. Registrar Recorder, is, I suppose when you say that it's against the against the elections code, that's why they're coming to do a bill, right? I mean, they're coming to change the elections code. So the question, I suppose, is how do you let's try to talk a little bit about how you would see a way for them to reach the goals they need without creating a total bureaucratic mess for you. We can change the code. We obviously are mindful of precedents and a certain amount of applicability in other context, but I do think the case has been forcefully argued that this is such a unique circumstance. How would you suggest that we get to the goals that they're seeking, which is to give all the folks who do have a tangible stake in the future of this area, but are currently not allowed to participate in the governance because of the way we define domicile and residence? How would you suggest that we get there? Understanding that we have the power, of course, to change the elections code within the constraints placed upon us by the Constitution.
It's going to be very difficult because changing the elections code affects 12 to 15 million people, not just a few people at Fallen Leaf Lake. So the question becomes, how do you define a registered voter? It's very clear that a registered voter is registered at his domicile. That seems to be the biggest sticking point according to the way the district attorney had talked about it before. So I really don't know how we can solve this. As you know, there is reference to a landowner election. A landowner election, frankly, you're a landowner, okay. If you're not a landowner, not okay. So that's another thing that would have to be resolved. I did not come here with with solutions because I just found out about this bill.
Right.
However we want to work together to try and get this thing figured out, I'm all for that.
Right.
But I do not have a solution for you, unfortunately, because I'm handcuffed by the elections code.
Well, I think from my reading of the analysis, I think there's a path, but I think you're right to suggest that it's not going to be particularly easy. It's not that there's not a meritorious kind of claim being made by the proponents. It's just that you're right. It brings up a whole slew of complicated issues relating to the way we conduct our elections statewide. One of the most serious concerns, I think, is the one you raised about making sure that someone isn't voting, you know, if it's a consolidated election, they're not voting for president or governor twice. That would certainly be something that I think everybody here would be concerned about, including our chair. So I know there'd be a standalone, I understand there's some other options for doing this. There'd be maybe a standalone ballot with just the it would require you, I suppose, to create two separate ballots, one for the folks who are registered to vote at all levels within the confines of this district, and then one for the folks who will be presumably voting back home and wherever it may be around the state. And that, of course, would almost certainly incur some costs for the county as well. And I would think that if this bill moves forward, you're going to have to figure out a way to make sure that the other residents of the county are not unduly burdened by the extra costs associated with this really unique arrangement that would be created. And so that would be something that would be my concern as well, that if we're going to give a special carve out in the elections code, given the special circumstances here, I understand it's snowed in, it's a special case, I get it. But it wouldn't seem fair that that given the fact that we'd be allowing this dual ballot system, perhaps the only place in the state to do so, it wouldn't seem fair to the rest of the residents of the county to have to bear the burden of that cost. So I think that would be something you'd have to also take into account as well. And I love your thoughts, Senator Gaines. I know you represent the folks who live in that county and would think you'd be sensitive to that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we need language to craft that, to clarify it, I'm fine with it. We're trying to resolve kind of a joint issue, working with Senator Hill. Many of the constituents in his district own property at Fallen Leaf Lake. And so we have this issue with the number of full-time residents. My hope is that we could work with a clerk recorder and see if we could come up with some amendments to the legislation as it moves forward in committee, work with the committee folks also, and see if we can put the get through the eye of the needle.
Okay. So. I mean, it's just an unusual thing that you're asking for us to do.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
You know, I understand why you're asking to do it. And, you know, my tendency, out of respect for each of you and your professed interest in working with the clerk, is to vote to move this along out of committee so as to allow you some more time to work on this. But I think that there are some complicated issues at play here that really do need that needle needs to be threaded. So I would ask that the committee monitor this carefully if it's passed out of committee today and reserve the right to bring it back here if there's any serious implications to the election code that are raised in the course of the negotiations.
I think the committee staff needs to be part of the conversation as it moves forward because this is kind of the genesis of the bill and really has the greatest knowledge and expertise in it. So I think that's critical.
I can assure you that as long as I'm chairman, we'll be working closely with them. With that said, do we have anybody here from El Dorado LAFCO? Is there a Mr. Enriquez that perhaps could? I have just a quick question for you. What's the feasibility of Fallen Leaf Lake CSD district merging with Lake Valley Fire District? Or are there any other potential mergers that could potentially solve this problem?
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you very much for allowing me to speak. My name is Jose Enriquez. I'm the executive officer for the El Dorado Local Agency Formation Commission. Wanted to state up front that my commission has not taken a position on this bill, so I'm not speaking for it or against it. Any opinions I expressed are entirely my own. But in terms of the of your question, a CSD in this particular case, Fallen Leaf Lake is a multi-service CSD, so that if it were to merge services with Lake Valley FPD, would actually what would technically need to happen would be for the CSD to divest itself of fire services so that Lake Valley could take it over. And there's been a conversation with my office and with Chief Guerin at Fallen Leaf Lake, as well as with Chief Alameda from Lake Valley FPD, as well as Chief Harris prior to Chief Alameda, about such a feasibility. Technically speaking, there shouldn't be a problem within the existing Cortesian Knox Wurzburg. Technically speaking, that should not be a problem to be able to do that. The CSD would remain for purposes of recreation services, which is its second power. But the FPD portion could happen. There's no impediment under the law to do it. The only impediment that would be there is that right now Fallen Leaf Lake does not have sufficient revenues. And so it's an underfunded district. They've done their best. They've passed a new special tax in 2014 to address that. But even with them, they're relying extensively on non-recurring revenues. And under that auspices, Lake Valley FPD has indicated that they would need to have more sustainable recurring revenues for it to be basically pencil out for them. That for logical reasons, they do not want to take on a money-losing proposition. They'd want to, at the very least, break even. But from a feasibility standpoint, a few years ago, Chief Harris and Chief Guerin had actually created a personnel placement plan, basically, of how they would be able to cover the Fallen Leaf Lake area during tourist season and non-tourist season.
Do any other members have a question? Hold on. Thank you very much. I'm going to first go over here, then I'll come back to you. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to address Mr. Allen's comment on having two election processes. Actually, I don't have the equipment that would be able to do that. I don't have the staff that would be able to do that. I don't, unless we change the elections code, as we've discussed, all I can handle is registered voters.
Right.
So if the people, for instance, that are here today, if they're a registered voter in El Dorado County, yes, I can help them. If they're not, no, I cannot currently. So if there's some other way we can work this out, right, that's great, but it's going to be difficult.
Right. So I would just say for my part that obviously, you know, we would be working together to change the elections code. But on the other two issues you bring up, the staffing and the equipment, I understand you're small county. I feel pretty strongly that your office and the taxpayers of the county would really need to be held harmless for the costs associated with this really rather unusual change, justifiable as it may be, so that there have to be some way to make sure that your office is adequately compensated for the additional costs associated with making this work. Because what we can't do, of course, is just send these folks the exact same ballot as everybody else, because then they're given the opportunity to vote twice for the same offices. And that's, you know, that's obviously unacceptable. So, and yet, I also don't think it'd be fair for the rest of the county to bear the costs associated with this unusual move.
I know that, sir, you would like to respond as well. You may go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to address, if I can, Mr. Enriquez's comments. Yes. First of all, with respect to the financing, Mr. Enriquez unfortunately has some outdated data. Right now, we have an audited statement showing our financials for our CSD, including the fire department, were audited as they are every year. We have in the bank right now, or will have by May 1st, after the state completes the payment to us of strike team revenues that are going to be coming in, we will have approximately $900,000 with which to fund a $386,000 budget. So we have two plus years of operating expenses in the bank, and we expect that to continue growing because of the strike team call-outs that we've had over the last 4 years. It's been growing every year. Last year, we were during the year 2017, we were called out to over 25 fires on a strike team basis, and we expect that that will likely continue. So we're not in financial distress at all. Quite to the contrary, we're quite strong. With respect to the question of possible annexation into Lake Valley Fire District, that's actually been tried. Mr. Enriquez is correct that when he says that Chief Guerin and Chief Harris did talk about it several years ago, they decided it didn't make any sense ultimately to do it because Lake Valley has a model which requires them, or by which they hire on a full-time basis. So they hire their personnel for 12 months out of the year. Our fire department only operates for 6 months out of the year because we're closed in, the roads aren't plowed. So instead of full-time firefighters, we hire part-time firefighters on contract. The way Chief Harris looked at it, the Lake Valley Fire Department would probably run a shortfall of upwards of $700,000 a year in order to be able to make that work, and that's just personnel. They weren't sure what would happen if our residents declined. Every 4 years we have to vote on the renewal of the fire tax. Our residents, if we don't have a fire department any longer, may very well decide that they don't want to fund Lake Valley's fire department. We don't know that because it hasn't come up yet. But that's a potential additional $200,000 shortfall. So the fact of the matter is that Chief Harris and Chief Guerin agreed that it didn't make sense for Lake Valley to look at annexing our fire department. We would prefer that it not be annexed too, because we feel, both because of water rescue, our fire department is a lake-wide fire department. It's used to using its fireboat both for lake-wide rescues and also for firefighting. We have standpipes located around the lake in strategic locations and a fireboat that's set up so that it can work putting out fires using water from the fireboats. In fact, it's been approved, one of the first ones in the country, from what I understand. The fireboat has been approved as a water source. So we're used to working in a lake environment. We don't think that Lake Valley is to the same extent. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the amendments. Does staff have the amendments readily available that perhaps you could walk through and tell us what amendments you're taking? And then if the committee so desires, if we could have a motion, this is not the last stop. And I think some of these amendments are going to solve some of the problems that put through. If you wouldn't mind just reading them off, that'd be great.
On page 5 of the analysis, under comment number 4, suggested staff recommends the following amendments in order to ensure voter rights and to prevent fraud. Proof of legal representative's authority and property owner's designation should be presented to and filed with the county elections official rather than the Fallen Leaf Lake CSD. The county elections officials should contact each parcel owner regarding their right to designate a voter and should contact them again each time a parcel changes ownership or every 2 years, whichever the county prefers. Clarify that non-resident parcel owners may only designate one person to vote on their behalf, even if they own more than one parcel. Resident, in other words, domiciled parcel owners may not designate anyone else to vote for them. Clarify that no parcel can simultaneously have both an owner-designated voter and a resident domiciled voter. If someone registers as a resident or domiciled voter, the county shall immediately terminate the status of an owner-designated voter for any particular parcel, if any. If more than one parcel is owned by the same voter, existence of a resident domiciled voter registered at any of those parcels should also negate the status of the owner-designated voter. The Fallen Leaf Lake CSD and any entity it controls should not be permitted to designate a voter for itself if it is a property owner, and that violations should be subject to the penal provisions of the Elections Code.
So a lot of the issues that were brought up are covered with these amendments. I think that the question as to whether a person gets to vote twice for president or for governor is addressed with the amendments. I still think that there's some work that needs to be done. I don't think the amendments solve all the problems, because I think the more we get into this, the more comes to our attention. But if somebody would like to make a motion, I'd be happy to move this forward so you can continue to fix the problem. And we have a motion from Senator Leyva. Thank you very much for that motion. And this is due pass as amended. Please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye.
I'd just like to thank the two authors for working with the committee as hard as they have, and I wish you luck in continuing their hard work, because I think you still have a lot ahead of you. And I want to thank the committee for their valuable questions and input. Thank you all. This concludes elections. Thank you.